Good evening and welcome to this evening service. Tonight's theme is around the seventh day of creation and God rested. The psalmist says these words, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken." Our first hymn is that great hymn of praise to a holy God. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Let us pray together. Our dear heavenly loving God, we thank you that, Lord, we can come to you this evening in worship and praise. Lord, we thank you that you are a great loving God that has been here since before the beginning of this day, and you will be here after we go to rest. Lord, you never let us down. Lord, we thank you that you are our rock. You are our salvation. You are our fortress. We thank you, Lord, that in you we have hope. But Lord, at the beginning of this time of worship, we come to you in repentance, recognizing, Lord, that we have not always got things right. And to you, Lord, we come now in worship, repentance, and knowing that you are a redeeming God who forgives and heals. Lord, come and take your place in our lives as forgiven, as you forgive us. Help us to forgive ourselves. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Continuing to read Psalm 62, which I began the service with, it says these words, "How long will you assault me? Would you, all of you, throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from the lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but with their hearts they curse." Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the low-born are but a breath, the high-born are but a lie. If weighed on balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion, but put your vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done." We have a great God whose power does belong to him, and our next hymn pick or song picks that up. "Lord, I lift your name on high." It's great to be able to worship God and to praise him, and recognizing from heaven he came to show the way. But our next song is our opportunity to come and hit back to him in worship. King of Kings, praise the Father. And it's that opportunity to focus our minds on who he is at the foot of his throne room in adoration and praise. King of Kings. I hope you've received your notice sheet and had time to study that and to see what's going on, and to remember the things in prayer, but also to be a part of them. Let me remind you that this week there is a lot going on, including on Tuesday there is the Journeys group and the church weekly prayer meeting, which is by Zoom. Please do join us for that. And on Wednesday we have our RBC Wednesdays at RBC online, and please join us on Zoom for that. The details are in the notice sheet. If you haven't got them, please just contact the church office and they can be sent to you. Wednesday lunchtime at 12:45 is our midweek service, and you are welcome to come and be a part of that service. Please do book online. And next Sunday we will worship together here in the church again. Please book online. There is also the children's and youth programmes going on, and the details are there, including the Wednesday evening quiz night or games night, and you're welcome to be a part of that if you're a young person. I think we'll decide whether you're a young person or not. Maybe some would want to, but contact Hannah if you haven't got the details for that. And please also notice that there's all the Sunday school material and children's material there that you can engage with throughout the week. We thank you for all who've been giving to the church at this time through your offerings, through the direct giving, for those who've dropped stuff in the boxes in the church, and those who have given through our online. And you can see that you can give online using the link that's on this page that you're watching this service. If after the service, if you feel able to give to God's work in that way. Let's come to God in prayer. We're going to pray a thanks for the gifts and then go straight into our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all that you have given us. And Lord, we just bring you now our gifts. And we're reminded that, Lord, you love a cheerful giver. And so, Lord, we come with cheer to give you our gifts for your purposes, to be used for your glory. Come, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Take our gifts, bless them, and use them. And Lord, as we come in our prayers, we pray for this nation. Lord, the nation that we live in, and we thank you for its diversity. We thank you, Lord, for its richness. From the richness of creation to the richness of the people who live here. And Lord, we pray that it will be a place of peace and calm. Lord, may there be harmony across this nation, that all people can live in peace. Lord, we pray for a nation where your justice and your rule is paramount, where the teachings of your scripture affect the way that we operate as a nation. Lord, we pray for all those who are in government, local and national, that, Lord, we pray that you will help them to govern wisely. Lord, as we continue to go through this season of the COVID epidemic, Lord, we continue to pray for a vaccine. We continue to pray for those who have to make decisions. We continue to pray for our National Health Service. And, Lord, we pray for those who are most affected by the whole of all the lockdowns, often the poor and those who are struggling in life generally. And so, Lord, we pray for the works of job clubs and food banks. We pray, Lord, that you will enable the right things to reach the needy at the right time. Lord, we pray for your church. Lord, as you've called us to be places of hope and people of hope, we pray, Lord, that we will not grow weary of hoping in you. But even in this difficult time, we will remember, Lord, that you have the victory, you have the power, you are still transforming lives. And Lord, we pray. We pray, Lord, for ourselves. You've called us to be disciples of you. You've called us to be image bearers of you. And so, Lord, at this moment, we just come to dedicate our lives to you again. And Lord, in this time of prayer, we say, Lord, speak into our lives, that we will know what direction you want us to go, what you want us to do. And Lord, as we come in a moment to hear your word preached, help us to be open to you speaking to us, to you teaching us. Help us to pause our lives and to allow you to speak into our very lives. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Saviour. In Jesus' name, amen. We now hear the Lord's Prayer sung to us. Thank you to the worship group for the Lord's Prayer that they have recorded. And as we come to hear God's word, we sing that great song, Holy Words Long Prevailed, changing me and changing you. Our reading this evening is from Genesis chapter 2, and it reads like this. Thus the heavens and the earth were complete in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creation that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. We pray God will give us understanding of his reading as Judy comes to bring God's word to us now. Thank you, Judy.
I shall start this message by reading Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll read from verse 1 to 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. I read from New King James Version. The scripture says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they had did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who had it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.' Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, it designates a certain day, saying in David, 'Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." This evening, the theme is Sabbath of rest. Sabbath of rest, which is the seventh activity of God. The seventh activity of God. And the scripture that has been read to us in Genesis chapter 2 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made." The seventh day, the Sabbath day of rest. The fourth commandment also says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Children of God, I am not here today to perhaps argue which day is the Sabbath day. I have read that there are streets in Jerusalem where your car will be stoned if you drive on the Sabbath. And I've been told that leaves of some buildings will not work because it is Sabbath in Jerusalem. Brethren, that is not the focus of this message. But rather, I want to bring out the spiritual dimension to this theme, Sabbath of rest. We have treated the Sabbath day as a day of physical and mental relaxation. That is fine. And to us as Christians, it is also a day of worship. But the Sabbath is more than this. And that is why I read from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. From what we have read there, Sabbath has a redemptive significance and a direct and distinct link with the gospel. This is why major feasts in the Old Testament were labeled as Sabbath days of rest. It is a pointer to Messiah and the redemptive work to be carried out. In the New Testament, the word rest is synonymous to the good news of salvation. When in Genesis chapter 2, the scripture says, God rested. God rested. In the New Testament, the rest is synonymous with salvation. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, 2 to 3, it says, for we have also have the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they had was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest. So you can see rest in the Old Testament, rest in the New Testament. Rest in the New Testament being synonymous with salvation. So why would God set aside the Sabbath day of rest? Genesis 2, 1 to 3, that was read to us, answered that question. God set aside this day of rest to signify his perfect and finished work of creation. And that was why he blessed the day and declared it holy. Children of God, let us look at this. God worked for 6 days, within which he created the world, and rested on the seventh day, when his work was perfect and complete. On the other hand, Adam and Eve were created on the sixth day. In fact, they were the last thing to be created on the sixth day. So, the first whole day of man, 6 to 7, we make one whole day. The first whole day of man was what? The first whole day was the seventh day, which God declared a Sabbath for rest. Let me come again so that you can understand what I've just said there. God worked for 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. Man, Adam and Eve, were created on the sixth day. In fact, they were the last set of creation. So their first whole day, 6, then 7. Their first whole day was the Sabbath of rest, which was God's resting day. So what did this tell us? Adam and Eve did not begin by walking. They spent their first day of life resting on God's Sabbath day. Only after they had entered into God's rest, which is a free gift from God, now did they follow it up with work, 6 days of work. So you can see, God started with work and rested on the Sabbath, 7 days. Man started with rest and then work. This is God's gift. This is God's gift. So, God created the world through Christ for our benefit. And we made no contribution to creation. We only received it as a gift. In the same way, salvation, we had no input. It was God's gift through us. No wonder Psalm 8 says, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name. And he went on to say, what is mankind that you are mindful of him? God is so wonderful. He loved us too much. He loved us too much. So it means, by resting in the completed righteousness provided by Jesus, what do we enjoy? We enjoy the blessings of salvation. So, Sabbath rest is therefore the very foundation of the glorious truth of righteousness by faith. The setting aside of Sabbath by God means God was entering into an everlasting covenant of relationship with mankind, a relationship that is dependent on God for all our needs. That is why we did not start with work. God designed it. We started with rest. Our first day as man was in God's rest day, and then 6 days of work. However, that covenant was broken. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, what happened after man disobeyed God? And as a result, the covenant was broken. God said this, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread. So, we were denied of that rest because of our disobedience. Disobedience to God's instruction denied them of the rest, both physically and spiritually, and rob them of God's rest, which is a special privilege. No wonder Hebrews 4 verse 6, Hebrews 4 6 says, therefore it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience. So, Sabbath day of rest, the foundation of the glorious truth of righteousness by faith. A covenant that God entered with man. A covenant of complete dependence on God. Again, I repeat, Matthew 11:28. When Adam and Eve broke that covenant, praise God, Jesus restored it for us. Matthew 11:28 says, Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you what? I will give you rest. That rest that we lost because of disobedience, Jesus restored for us. And therefore, Jesus restored that principle of Sabbath. That principle of Sabbath. I realized today many people believe it is what they do that sustains them both, whether it's spiritual or physical. I had that experience a few days ago. I'm an accountant and I'm also a consultant, so I work with local authorities via contracts. And so when I was told, oh, did they come October 30th, your contract will not be renewed, what happened to me? I started to panic. I even shared with Pastor here and I said, my contract is coming to an end. And I'm not too sure whether I'm going to have a job towards Christmas. And in me, as man, I started to panic, really panic. Ask my wife, I was really panicking. It went bad to the extent that I couldn't sleep. I remember I was just, at times I slept maybe 10, 11, and by 1, I've woken up. Until, I think day 3, and I think the Spirit of God started ministering to me. And I started to ask myself questions, just the same way David was talking to himself. And I said, Jide, are you now saying it is the work that you do that sustains you? I was asking myself that question. I said, not really. And that voice came to me again. I said, I, the Lord, am the one that sustains you, not the work that you do to earn money. So this happened. You cannot even trust me. You cannot depend on me. And you started to panic. And of a truth, my head was busy calculating. I started developing various plans. I confessed my sins immediately. I said, God, I am very, very sorry. Please forgive me. I submit to you. Because the Spirit of God made me to understand, it is not the work that we do that sustains us. It is God that sustains us. There are so many people who are better than us, who have the intelligence, who have the money, who have everything. But they are not so opportune the way you and I are opportune. So, what is that story about? Complete dependence of God on God. Complete dependence on God. When you rest in the Lord, it means you surrender absolutely. You trust Him completely. You release yourself to God so that He can carry you. He said, come. Come. I will give you rest. But you know what we normally do? I will give you an example now. Can you imagine you see me walking along the road, maybe with heavy load like this, carrying, and you say, oh, Jide, come. Come. Let me, where are you going to? And I got into your car. And instead of putting my load in the trunk of the car, I still sat down in your car and I still carry my load on my head. What will you call me? That's what we do at times. We are not fully dependent on God. Secondly, the Bible in many places reveals that Jesus was the instrument through whom God accomplished the creation. John 1:3 says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And Colossians 1:15-17 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. Jesus was the instrument, the agent, whom God used to accomplish creation. So, just as Jesus Christ finished creation at the end of the sixth day and rested on the seventh day, if we look at it, he also finished the redemption work on the cross on the sixth day and rested in the tomb on the seventh day, John 17:4. So we can see what happened in Genesis reappeared here. When Jesus was crucified on the sixth day, he finished the work of redemption. On the seventh day, he rested in the tomb. This act reactivated the Sabbath of rest. So, Sabbath has a threefold significance: creation, redemption, and restoration. Because Jesus Christ is our creator, he is our redeemer, and he is our restorer. So, if Sabbath of rest has significance, has a strong significance, how do we enter then into God's rest? Hebrews 4:7 to 11 tells us that today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. This means we can only enter into God's rest by receiving and doing the word of God. We can only enter God's rest by receiving and doing the word of God. We have to put our faith in Christ, as we cannot enter God's rest by our works, both physically and spiritually. It is by total surrender unto God. And because the scripture tells us in Hebrews 4 that I read, it says, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. So when you enter into God's rest, you cease from the works. Because we cannot please God with our works. You will rest upon him. He carries you. He carries your weight, both physically and spiritually. So, I will end like this. Do you need rest from your works? Stop running from pillar to post. Since you've been doing it, since I've been doing it, have I been successful? No. Are you in a confused state? Or do you think the whole world is crumbling on you? Come. Come to Christ. My Creator gives rest. He said, come, all ye that labor and are heavily laden. Come with those loads. Bring it to me. Come. Take my rest. Do not harden your heart. Surrender to Him. He is the Lord of the Sabbath because He is our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Restorer. So this evening, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Amen.
Thank you, Jiddy, for bringing God's word to us. And we're not going to rush away now.